So let's go over just really quickly a couple of headlines this week in particular. We saw earlier this week that Eversource was talking about how the bills are going to come down a little bit starting in July, and we love that, right? The headline sounds really great. But then we learned a day later that they filed a letter of intent seeking to file for a double-digit rate hike by next summer, July of 2027. I want to say I'm shocked by that, but I'm really not. This happens literally all the time. Here's what was shocking to me. Now, Governor Lamont has been in office, obviously, for two terms. He is going for a third term. He first has to win a primary in August. This email that came out from Governor Lamont to the news outlets yesterday is something I have never seen before from the Governor Lamont administration. It says it's a message from Governor Lamont to Connecticut families. It doesn't sound like him. It doesn't really give any answers to bring our energy costs down. And he actually gives credit to basically other people in the state and not even himself really in any regard. I had to dive into this letter. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it, and we are going to go kind of piece by piece through it. And I thought the perfect person to come on to discuss this with all of us is Bryson Hall, who is our energy expert on the show. Hey, Bryson.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. Did you read this letter?
I had to read it like three times.
Right?
It's like goofy. I was like, is Marissa Gillette back ghostwriting again? Is the sky blue?
Is the sky actually
blue?
Is
your electricity bill an act of God, as Josh Elliott would say, which I'm convinced she wrote, but I don't know that for a fact.
Right, we don't know who wrote this, but this is not Lamont, right?
Nah.
I mean, this is not him. It can't be. I mean, it says that it's coming from his administration, but I'm like, who wrote this letter to this message to families? First of all, I've never seen him write a message to Connecticut families, even in, you know, very dark times or things that have gone on. I've never seen something like this come from the Lamont administration. I don't know if this is just purely campaigning because of a primary. I don't know.
I feel like it's campaigning. I feel like it's a nod to the left and Josh Elliott. Josh Elliott's on that train of the, there's a national train. Let's put some national context on this. There's a national train that Marissa Gillette's part of. It's the American Economic Liberties Project. There's power lines in New York. They're all talking about attacking utilities because utilities, literally, there was an article in Politico this week, are utilities the next big oil? Which is what they're trying to do. Big oil was made into the big enemy because we had big tobacco. That was a successful, wealthy model for a lot of people. Now we tried to make big oil. Well, big oil is pretty intact and pretty useful right now, nationally, internationally. So now we have utilities. My favorite part of this is you have basically a billionaire from Connecticut, Greenwich, sitting there going, hey, profits are bad. And the Eversource CEO made all this much money. And it's like 94 times. Like, really? Like, since when is profit a bad thing? That's what the country was founded on. You know, it's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That really means pursuit of property.
Mm.
So why are we doing that? Why? Because this is the latest thing to do. This is popping up all over. We have it in New York. New York has 900 bills relating to utilities, 900 this session.
Wow.
300 of which are really bad, like super stupid, based on Marissa Gillette-style ideas. A senator there named Shelley Mayer is a huge fan. You've Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania is now talking, and it's straight out American Economic Liberties Project. It's like, hey, we're going to reduce the return on equity. They shouldn't be making profits. It's very just red meat progressive stuff. The governor has a challenge from his left flank, Josh Elliott. Not really, but it's a nod to that side.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm glad that you brought up the profit end of this, because I think that was the first thing that stood out to me. First of all, the language doesn't sound like him. When he says, I've been sitting with this because there's a lot I want to say. Governor Lamont, if there's one thing, and I've interviewed this man many, many times, and I so appreciate my working relationship with Governor Lamont. He's not somebody who has a lot to say. That's just kind of his nature. And so that was the first thing that kind of tipped me off. And I thought, I don't know who wrote this. I'm not really sure what the end game is here. But then he starts to talk about, to your point, losing money doesn't look like the CEO of Eversource's $13.5 million compensation last year reflected in a 19% raise. The CEO is making 94 times what the average Eversource employee earns. And then he goes into kind of history and all of that. But this is the first time I think I've ever heard Governor Lamont specifically attack the utility company, as well as Pura, by the way, when it comes to our energy costs. I've never actually heard him go this direction with attacks. I don't know if you have. I might be missing it, but I don't ever remember kind of this tone from Governor Lamont.
No.
Attacking specifically the CEO of Eversource, the company itself, and then he even dives into saying that this is all Pura. Where is it? Now, I'll be straight with you. This is literally out of the letter.
Yeah.
I've never heard Governor Lamont talk like this. Now, I'll be straight with you. I feel like that's something that my generation would say. The decision on this rate increase belongs to PURA, Connecticut's independent utility regulator. That independence is real and it's important. It is their job, not mine, to say yes or no.
But I'm going to bleat from my bully pulpit about how this profit making is a terrible thing in the United States of America. I don't understand that. I kind of feel like that's the hangover of Upton Sinclair in the jungle. Like, culturally, we're like, we love, like, America's the even chance to become unequal, right? That's what America is, right? You can come here, make your fortune, don't make your fortune, whatever. We have that hangover, like, companies are terrible, they're making money, oh my God. Well, we all wouldn't have livelihoods if we weren't making money, right? So I don't get this. I don't, the Pure thing is funny because he finally did the right thing with Pure after forever, after letting someone who was disloyal to him, supported Josh Elliott, basically went out in flames, and then, you know, not really saying anything when she's doing it, and finally, like, all right, you gotta go. Now he sets Pure up correctly, and now he's like, well, it's up to them, not me.
But that's what I'm saying.
Huge political pressure.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. And I don't, how can you even say it's their job, not mine, to say yes or no? I mean, here's the thing, and I know this is also somebody who's a polarizing person, but Attorney General William Tong has had no problem always getting ahead and being like, guys, we got to do better with our energy costs. I mean, and again, this isn't to say for or against, but what it is saying is even Governor Launch be like, this isn't on me. This is all Pure's
fault. The whole letter is actually, when you get to that point of it, the whole letter is sort of like, well, I'm just talking out of my,
you know what?
Yeah. I mean, because I don't have anything really to say. I'm just going to say I feel you. But it's not like Bill Clinton, like, oh, I empathize. I feel your pain with a high bill. It's not that. He's trying. It's not working. He's saying it's not my fault. And by the way, Governor, for 6 years or 8 years now, you've had the ability to do something to push legislation. The legislature's done absolutely nothing but add to our bills.
Right.
Nothing. You are a leader of your party. You should be able to say, hey, let's maybe look at some structural issues here. Maybe the market's wrong. Maybe we shouldn't have all these programs stuffed into the bills. And then say things like, and he said this before, well, I don't want to hit taxpayers twice. Well, ratepayers are taxpayers.
Right.
I don't know a single ratepayer who's not a taxpayer.
Right.
So everything you stick there, you've done nothing. You've shown no leadership. Tong and Claire Coleman have done nothing but, you know, sort of follow the deep line or whatever the latest National Democratic Attorneys General, we're going to sue thing is. That's all he does.
Right.
Like, we all know you're running for Blumenthal's spot. And that's, you know, you make noise. We have, look at the whole Aquarian thing. The most amateur night.
The Aquarian, yeah. The
just
Aquarian
terribly done. Perfect proof that the state just doesn't know what it's doing.
Mm.
And showed it. Like, wait, we set a special session to have a law to make it happen. Then we reverse it. Then we reverse it again. Then finally we're like, oh, geez, the law actually follows. We have to follow the law. Pura says we got to follow the law.
Right.
What are you trying to do here? You trying to put your thumb on the scale at Pura? That's what it looks like. And that's the whole American Economic Liberties Project. Marissa Gillette's out there going, legislators should intervene in rate cases. No, you shouldn't. Actually, like, know what you're talking about. Learn some energy policy. Do something good for your constituents. Stop messing around with the rate cases and just looking for your headlines, because that's all they're going to do.
We are chatting right now with Bryson Hull, who is the Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance, but I also call him our energy expert here on my show. And we were talking about this letter from Governor Lamont. Any closing thoughts on this one, Bryson, before we move on?
Just, we're not showing competence here. Like, let's get serious. I think hopefully next year in the long session, we'll see some good stuff. Maybe we'll look at the market structure. Maybe we'll put the toothpaste back in the tube and stop deregulation, allow some planning. But yeah, this is just another squawking from the bully pulpit. Making a lot of sense, unfortunately.
Right. It's just kind of all over the place. And again, I highlight this not to certainly call out one person over another, but this is our sitting governor. He would like a third term in office. And I think people have to get serious and really look through. I forwarded this email to so many people, Bryson, when I got it, because I said, am I crazy? Like, am I crazy or am I reading something that, first of all, doesn't actually sound like him? But second of all, it doesn't actually amount to anything. It's just a lot of finger pointing and actually denying the fact that we really haven't figured out many solid ways to bring our costs down.
It's campaign season and you're busy bleeding about this. And it's like, you can just look at your bill. But I think the Eversource part is like 11% of your bill, or the Avangrid, whoever your utilities,
right,
like 11%.
The public utilities is humongous.
And the rest of it's
or
all,
another, yeah, yeah.
The rest of it's
public
the
benefits.
Supply and other things. Do something useful. He's made some good decisions in the past. This is a break with it. It's a campaign season break, unfortunately. And unfortunately, this is like a virus going across the country, and it's only going to make things more expensive. Because just one fact, I did a little math with the help of my AI, but I had a thought. Hey, let's look at states where you have a Democratic trifecta. So both the legislature, House of the legislature, and the governors run it. And then let's look, renewable portfolio standard, which is a 20-year-old thing, but that's what we have here. It's like, you have to use this much renewable, get rid of this, get rid of that, you know, close your nuclear, close your coal. And then you look at other states. It's a 60% premium in the last year, according to Energy Information Administration data, to live in a state that is a blue trifecta versus a red.
Really?
Yeah,
interesting.
60% higher than red states. And the median states that don't have it or they have a mixed, they're right in the middle.
Interesting.
So it's your policies, my friend. It's your party's policies. And you're turning away from the good, sound, smart, practical Connecticut you know, Yankee decisions you were making to just shout and what the latest thing from the campaign trail is.
That is interesting.
Nationally.
That's interesting. Something to keep note of. Absolutely.
Ain't going to help you build, Melissa.
Yeah, well, and I would like it to go down, Bryson Hall, which is why I have you on so often, I tell you. Recently, Bryson, not to switch gears, but I thought this was really interesting. You were part of a CBIA panel.
Yeah.
Right? What was going on?
It's their annual Energy and Environment Conference.
Oh, cool.
And it was the future of gas, and I had the privilege to be on there with a NeverSource engineer who helped bring the first geothermal power in Massachusetts online.
That's cool.
Really smart person, Nikki Bruno. And Alana Daly, who is the Northeast Gas Association vice president, somebody, a friend of mine, very good. We just talked about the future gas, and it's nice to talk to an audience of business people because they care about their costs for the purpose of running a profitable business. Governor Lamont, that's kind of the purpose.
Right.
So it was nice. We just kind of talked about what we think, and we do think we need more gas. We don't think it's going away despite what people think. It just can't. And I also pointed out the absurdity, and I've said it on your show before. Why are we 100 miles from the second largest gas field in the country? Gas has to come in by LNG tanker. Stupid.
Right.
So hopefully we'll get a change on that. You've seen some pipelines getting built. New York's not blocking the way it used to because they're having their own problems with their renewable portfolio standard. Yeah, we're going to have this by 2040. No, you're not. You're just not. So they're pulling a reverse here. But yeah, it was a nice panel. Great to talk to the audience. Nice to be in front of the, basically, you know, the movers and shakers in businesses.
Well, and I think one of the things that's so, because I have CBIA on pretty often, and what I love about talking to them is that it's more, I think in a lot of ways, we've gotten away from kind of kitchen table conversations. We've gotten away from talking about it with all the politics involved. So without asking any person in the room, if you have a D or an R or an I next to your name, you just talk about, okay, but what logically is going on? What logically makes sense for the future? We, in so many ways as a society, just in general, have gotten away from that without being like, okay, but wait, hold on. So who do you affiliate with? And I think to myself, why? Just let's just make sense of this. That's why I really want to preface when we were talking about that letter. It's not a direct on one party or another. But to me, you've got a sitting governor who has been in this role and could have legislative session after session, including a legislature, by the way, could have effectively made some changes in energy. But we didn't. That's ultimately what it is. We didn't. And I think a lot of times we toe the party line, if you will, versus, OK, let's actually figure out if we care about the average Connecticut resident and how do we bring their bills down. I don't think that kind of effective conversation is happening because we're too hung up on which party are we towing the line with.
I think you're right with that. And I think in this state, we're very stale with the thinking and the brains that are, we don't have, and this is not, well, it's a knock on Connecticut. We're not an energy state. We don't have a lot of energy, you know, companies here that are doing energy things. We're not Texas, you know, we're not Pennsylvania. So we don't have a lot of sophistication when it comes to the issues. And it's just, you need a little sophistication with energy. It's the most macroeconomic thing and the most microeconomic thing. There's so many things. The more I learn about, the more I'm like, I don't know anything. But this is, when I think about this for a second, like, the conference is great. It's energy and environmental. Those things don't really always go together. They're sort of separate. And we've liked to conflate them. And we conflate them because DEEP is run by the same person who's a perfectly nice person. Katie Dykes is fine. But she's been there for 10 years. Those ideas are not fresh. The leadership in the legislature, not fresh at all. Stale. And hopefully we get a change next year. And hopefully we see some people that actually have some ideas. And, you know, Ryan Fazio certainly has tried to make that his issue. And he's got some sophistication. He trades that stuff. So he understands it. We need more of that. And that's not a partisan thing. Frankly, if you have the supermajority, there should be debate within that party about, like, how do we get to this without just pulling up, you know, the latest campaign from a national organization saying, we're gonna insult the utilities. Mm-hmm. That's not how we do things in the state. Like, we like to make things. So
that's what it is. That's what it's become. I mean, even I'm sorry, but even in this letter, it's when Governor Lamont in this letter again, and I say Governor Lamont because it's coming from his office. I don't know who wrote this. They claim it's Governor Lamont. I don't buy it. When he talks about PURA being the, like, basically the culprit, if you will. What's interesting is that we basically just replaced all of PURA. We just replaced it with actual people that on a bipartisan basis, people like the new regulators. They like them.
They're regulating.
Because they get it. Well, because they get it, right? But again, to your point, all the years of scrutiny surrounding PURA and Marissa Gillette, there was none of this language. I never got a letter from Lamont that looked like this, that talked about, okay, well, here's what's going on with PURA. This never happened. Why would we praise brand new regulators who actually understand the industry, the market, all of that? Why now would we blame PURA? Which, by the way, it's not like Eversource and UI don't do this fluctuating thing twice a year, every year. Like, it wasn't shocking to see that Eversource is asking for an increase. I don't even not buy all the reasons why, you know, because they talk about the inflation, economy, things like that, things costing more, right? But why now would you send a letter like this out to people? Other than the fact that I understand you're campaigning, but to blame Pura when you were just touting the fact that you named all these regulators who actually could do the job effectively. Why now, months later, are you knocking them?
I don't know that he's knocking them. I think he's putting pressure on them.
Putting the onus on them.
Yeah.
He's not taking any responsibility.
The right. job is to follow the law. It's not follow the politics. And that's
right.
the problem. We politicized it.
Correct. There it is.
And
you got there faster than I could.
No,
I couldn't land the plane, but you got there.
It shouldn't be politicized. Like, that's what I wrote like a couple months ago in the Hartford Current is boring regulations back. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be exciting.
It's not
sexy. Dramatic and epic.
Right.
It's supposed to be very lawyerly nonsense.
Right.
Not nonsense, but like actual rate making. There's history to it. There's 100 years of history. It's kept prices, you know, stable in line with inflation. It's a system that works.
But it's easy to villainize them and make them the
monopoly,
bad guy. Right?
Monopoly. As opposed to thinking it's a regulated monopoly, which is like the worst mother may I setup. It's like you have car keys in a car, but you can't go unless mom or dad says it's okay. So it's not as simple as that. There's a reason for a regulated monopoly because we don't have like 20 power lines over your house, you know? That's the problem we have with some of the broadband now. They're like, you have the double pole issues everywhere. There's a reason for it. They're trying to destroy that model. That's what's trying to be done in a national level. We were experimented on here by a non-regulator who became the greatest regulator in the nation, and I say that with quote marks in the air. And then now you're trying to cover up when nobody really swung for it. She had to leave, but nobody swung for the errors and basically, like, I don't know, hiding things, not being honest. Nobody swung for that, and the governor doesn't want to take any responsibility. So it's like, well, let's put the political pressure on Pura. You shouldn't have any political pressure on Pura. Tong is busy, you know, bloviating about that all the time. And you know what I think of his behavior. Nothing personal against him. Go and defend the state, but at least stand on the right ground. Don't come up with made up language. And by the way, important to note, I don't think Eversource has had an actual full rate case in like 6 or 7 years.
Really?
Yeah. And what Mercy Gillette really wanted was to have them come so she could rip them apart. And now that's happening this year because they have to.
Because
they're overdue for a full rate case.
Well, it's important to take note. Like I said, when I saw this, I sent it to several people, including Bryson, and I immediately said, please come in immediately. We need to talk about this and certainly the future of our energy costs and things like that. And just the conversations that could be happening in Hartford, but I don't think effectively are, at least not right now. So something to keep note of.
Hey, we're too busy defending against Donald Trump, which is like the you know, like defending.
Well, that's the focus, right?
Like, wait, what's Donald? I didn't feel that Donald Trump did anything to me, and I'm as nonpartisan as you. You know, nobody knows my politics. They're
right.
Never going to know him. But I don't feel like Donald Trump is ruining my day, you know?
Well, because, so you know what it reminds me of is that, and I'm not a huge Family Guy fan. I don't watch the show or anything, like, religiously, but I remember as a kid, or I should say a teenager, maybe, there's that episode where one of them, I don't even remember, it's either Peter or Lois, one of them is running for mayor.
Peter Griffin, you mean?
Yes. And he gets up and he's like, I don't even know what to say to the people. And it's one of them is running and they're like, just bring up, you know, like 9/11. And of course, it's, you know, it's very dark humor. But they is it Lois? It's Lois. OK, thank you. So Eric knew. And and she does. And the crowd just goes wild. And the reason I always think of that is that's exactly what Connecticut politics has become. Even having a conversation about, you know, oh, like it's nice to see, you know, a primary for the first time in decades for the you know, the Democratic Party. And it's also nice to see, you know, for the first time, the Republican Party not having a primary, you know, and having new blood, you know, kind of going for the governor's seat. And immediately it's like, right, but Trump. And I think to myself, wait a minute, that's not even effective a conversation. What does that even mean? Come on, Connecticut, what are we doing? I don't understand that. Like, just
let's button this letter up then. It makes me
here
think
we go.
Of
button the letter
you're
up.
You're talking
then,
about
Bryson.
Red
land
meat.
The plan.
You're talking about throwing red meat with Lois, Griffin, right?
Right?
You, Donald Trump, you know, and then people go wild, right? And this is an attempt at red meat that's just lame. It's just lame. This letter is lame. Red meat. It's not even red meat. It's like vegan red meat. You know, it's like I'm being angry at the utilities. Well. Because everybody's been angry at the parties that be, maybe
right.
The Democrat Party, the old ladies on my street, they're like, hey, public benefits charge. They're mad about that.
Right.
This is a sad attempt to like kind of say it's not my fault, but it kind of is.
But it kind of is because you've done nothing.
You haven't shown leadership, and I wish you would.
Right. Exactly. Bryson Hall, always appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa.